Welcome to the CCI Sunday podcast presented by CCI Plus. Download our free app at communitychurchinternational.org. We'll start in just a moment, but first I want to invite you to stop by on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and worship with us, listen to a powerful message, and enjoy the company of some friends. We are 1 mile east of the college on Highway 1 in Thief River Falls, Minnesota. We hope to see you soon.
There are mindsets that we have that can pull on us, and it doesn't match. It doesn't match. It doesn't fit, and it doesn't work. So he says, when he's talking about this, there's this invitation to identification that he says, I want to be a father to you, and I want you to be my sons and my daughters. There's that invitation to say, this is who I am for you. This is what I want to be for you. And you are my son and you are my daughter. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Man. We got to go away a little bit last weekend, and I appreciate the words of the house that were coming forth. And Jim was sharing last week. It said, I looked on the website. It says, get in your wheelbarrow. I was like, what do you mean, get in your wheelbarrow? Didn't understand that title. I didn't get it. I was like, so I was thinking Jim was going to share about the time he went and burnt all his marijuana in a wheelbarrow. That's what I was waiting for. It never came. So then I later asked the men's prayer, I said, well, what was that story about? Well, Willie had shared something about faith and getting in a wheelbarrow and going across the line. But that wasn't on the video. It's like, what happened? But Jim, it was really good. It was fantastic. So I was like, but I was looking for the punchline. I never saw the punchline on that. But it was so good. And when you watch that, I just want to say how blessed we are in this house. When I look at the media, I go, man, oh, man, oh, man. Well done. I watch, I'm on a trip, and I'm enjoying myself when the house is full of the Spirit and the Word of God's coming and people are getting ministered to. And I get text messages back, say, what a wonderful sir. I said, it was great. It just blesses my heart. And I thank you for that, you know, that I could go with my family and have a blessed time and know that we got such great, able men and women in the house of God doing stuff. I go, yeah, that's awesome. So I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Jim. Thank you for everyone else sharing and William and those guys. It was just fantastic. Hallelujah. What a woman's conference we had. So we get to go on this trip, and I'm flying high that Sunday morning when Barb was sharing, and Dar didn't get a chance to share, and that was fine because Barb really just, I don't know how much more we could have handled, but it was just so significant. So I began to write down some things. So if you would, for a moment of time here, I wanted to revisit some of the things that Barb was sharing in the time, and I noticed it was so personal, but I want to share the word that she was sharing, and it's so timely in the Spirit. So I had typed it out. She said, I heard the Lord say, and this is what I was sharing a little bit today, you will not conquer the darkness without until you conquer the darkness within. And I have come to make the darkness tremble. Let me into your dark. Let me into the place of dark. Let me into your place of lament, that you may be in your place. Let me into that place of disappointment. Let me be in that place of confusion. Let me be in that place to rise in the dark place, to come out of hiding. Let the light shine within you, just not upon me, but in me. I am coming to make the darkness tremble, the light to rise upon you. Just give me your best today. Said, even give me your worst. Give it all to me in the worst place, that I have come to be with you. And that's what I'm feeling so strong this morning, is that God is coming to be with us in that dark place, and rise in with you. Because the God that we serve is a God of transformation. And there's more. Don't settle. Don't settle for mere religion. Don't settle for mere form. But let me into the dark. This place. place that keeps falling within, this place that we keep stumbling, place that we're missing the mark. I invite you there, God. I surrender to the transformation. I can't take authority out there until I take authority in here. I don't have authority out there until I have authority in here. I don't have his authority until I submit to his authority. I surrender to your holiness. We need wholeness. We need healing of mind. And we need souls surrendering. God, we pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. What deep movement God is doing. Because we are asking God to move. And what he moves in me moves people. I am moved by the hearts of God, that God's heart on my life. When Jim was sharing last week, I was moved by the encounter that he had with the Lord that changed his life. And that is the same move that we're asking God to have take place in our lives here. Amen. So I titled this message, Getting Personal. Don't you love that? Getting personal. How do we do this? How do we get personal? So let's go to the scripture here. Hallelujah. Get our Bibles. You know, when the word comes and you have a great conference, does the testing of the word ever happens? Does it? You know, we have graduation coming, and we had a wonderful vacation, but when we got home, the first thing that we started thinking about was all the plans of graduation. And, you know, we're trying to pray in the morning, trying to read the word, but then you start going down the list, and about an hour and a half later, you have totally just abandoned the goal of reading the word and praying together. You just started getting into mode. And God said, stop. I got a list, Frank. Frank, you got to help me. Frank, help me. I got a big list. Frank's thinking, you got a few things to do too? All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. This is interesting, but I want you to follow with me. We're in the conference. Some of these words were coming as Barb was speaking the other day. And so do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what does the righteous and the wicked have in common? And what fellowship has light with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there in there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Say, living God. As God said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out. Rise up. Come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you. Does this sound intimate? Does this sound close to you? I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything, say everything, that contaminates the body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence of God. You know, I was thinking about the things that we drink. Have you ever heard the saying, don't drink that Kool-Aid? Does that make sense? And it kind of refers to is what you take in that you buy into, that you say, okay, I'm into that. I get these YouTube commercials, and there's this one guy, have you seen this, where he takes the spoon, he says, you struggle with vision? So he takes a spoon and he puts it on his eyeball. He takes the other spoon and he goes tick, 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 on his eye. And he says, that's going to improve your vision. Now, do you drink that Kool-Aid? I start laughing. I was like, this one simple trick to fix your vision. What? Or you ever watch those commercials? It's like one simple trick. But here it says, let's not contaminate the body and the spirit, perfecting in holiness and reverence of God. And we've been talking about wells. We've been talking about what Kool-Aid do we actually drink? What do we actually have fellowship and participation with? What do we have common union with? When it talks about fellowship, what fellowship does light have with the darkness? What can we take from the darkness that would feed the light? Right? What can we take from, it says here, at the first verse says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. What's a mismatch? What is unequal? What doesn't quite fit? It doesn't work with. It doesn't flow with. So here it was like, what part of life is that what God is doing? So reading the word, thinking about the word that Barb was saying, she started talking about life experiences that we drink from, that we connect with, that we always go to. And I want to share another scripture here that Paul was talking about to tie in that. That what Paul is really saying here is that he wants us to separate really the deep things that we pull out of that gives us life. How do we pull life out of things that are not from God? Because he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So what are those things that we draw from for identity and purpose and what really affects my life? What wells, as Dave was talking about, what do we draw from? That is, so when we're in worship here this morning and we're trying to enter into the presence of God and we're worshiping, there is a tug on my heart. There are things going on that pull on me. What are those things that are pulling on me? And he's saying, I want to separate those things that pull on you, that pull you away from me, that keep us from drawing towards me. And when we got back and I began to write down the list of all the things to do, I realized that I had begun to prioritize the list of all the things we need to do for graduation. And that became my busyness, and that became my eye, that became my work. I mean, it has to get done, right? I mean, I'm not complaining, Hope, about your graduation. I hope you understand that. But you get these lists of things that you need to do in life, and it pulls on you. And that's what he's asking us to separate from. It's not wrong to have fellowship. It's not wrong to be in the world. But I'm telling you, there are relationships that can pull on us, that can pull us the other way. There are mindsets that we have that can pull on us. And it doesn't match. It doesn't match. It doesn't fit. And it doesn't work. So he says, when he's talking about this, there's this invitation to identification that he says, I want to be a father to you. And I want you to be my sons and my daughters. There's that invitation to say, this is who I am for you. This is what I want to be for you. And you are my son and you are my daughter. And in that is a connection and a relationship that is going to be very powerful. And what I'm asking from you is to detach from all these other things that you've learned to trust in. When Barb says, I trust in you. I trust in you. And I got all these projects and I got all these information to come to me. It is so important. Do you know what she went through? Losing a husband. Do you know what she went through? And then in that place, I just was blown away. In that place, she had that prophecy, Sandy. And here she was up in Rainy River and all these words of the prophecy were coming true. And she didn't even realize she was there until God began to show it. So what does that tell me? Do you think your life's a mess right now? Okay. But does that mean you're in the wrong place? No. I mean, we do. But in that very place, God could be showing us something. And he's showing us what to latch on to. I really appreciate what Jim was sharing last week. Because in that, I said, you know what he was really latching on to? Jim getting in the Word of God, man. And getting full of the Holy Spirit. And there's that saying to say, There is no high like the Most High. Just watch Jim. Getting in the presence of God. What did that do for you? Carried a cross across the country. I said something had to separate there. There had to be a transformation there. There was a trust there factor there. There was a draw there, a letting go and a letting God there. There was a transformation there in his life. And that's what he's doing. But he says, let us remove everything that contaminates the body and spirit. You know what contaminates water? Dead things. I was watching this movie and these pirates had went to this island and they needed water. And they went down and they tasted the water. And immediately he said, this water's no good. It's been poisoned. And what they did is they threw deadness in there. And the water was all no good. Something has to pull that deadness out. Come on. And when she was prophesying over us, she says, God is rolling the stone away from the grave, and he's reaching in and he's pulling out the dead because it's polluting your water. Come on. That's what she prophesied. And I'm listening to this thing and I'm going, whoa, this is deep, God. This is deep because it affects our life source. The water in the wells, come on, you draw from the waters in the wells and the life of God that he has in us and all around us. And it takes this pull and this draw that only comes, God's drawing us and he's trying to win us over in these things. So he says, separate, and he says, perfecting these things in holiness. I was looking up this word. It says, okay, so what Kool-Aid are you drinking? And I was thinking, do I drink the right Kool-Aid? Do you? The influencers. And I come up with this word because I heard a word in the conference. I can't remember what it was, but it was a crazy word. You guys know what word I'm talking about? Dar was saying? What was that word? What is it? I still can't. There's no way I can say that. Amalgamated? I had to look that one up. How do you spell that? No, I'm just kidding. Nice. I want her on my team. Especially if I'm in a game. You can spell that. Here's my word. Decisionator. My decisionator. So, it's not a real word. I looked it up. I Googled it. But what I did find... this is what I found. In my Decisionator, it was an actual app. So what is one of the biggest questions we all have? I'll answer it. You don't have to answer. Just think for 2 seconds. Where are we going to eat? It's huge. Come on. What are we eating? Huge. I hear that every day. What are we eating? What are we eating? So I looked up this app. It's called the Decisionator. And guess what it is? What do you feel like? Chicken? Pasta? Pizza? Ooh. Pasta. You click on that Decisionator. And it gives you all the list of the local restaurants that serve pasta. Oh. That's wonderful. It's a Decisionator. It helps me with my decisions. Right? It's a real thing. Go Google it. It's a real thing. Huh? That impacts your decisions. What you draw from. And when Jim was sharing about the Word of God, how he loved God and got in the Word, he's pulling the Word of God out, and it was life to him. He found life in some other things. He thought that was life, but it moved me. Because what are we asking for? We're asking really this fundamental question. When Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, is that every single one of us want to live. And we want to be free. And we have this thing called the Decisionator. That we make our choices, what we're going to drink from, and what we're going to eat, and what we're going to do with our time, and what we're going to invest in. And it pulls on us. It pulls on you. What am I going to do with my life when you're young and you're going to go to college? What am I going to do? How am I going to make a living? And it pulls on you. And it's tough. It's one of the biggest concerns is how am I going to make it in this world? And he began to press into the Word of God. And do you think God has a role in that? God has a fatherhead figure that I could be a father to you, a good father to you. In this role of life, I want to be a father to you, and you be my daughter, and you be my sons. There is a relationship I want to have that's a breakthrough in my understanding that my God loves me. And when we talk about finance and we talk about provision, that God has an answer to that. When God brings, I just was so moved, Frank and Deb. When Barb come to your house, you don't know your impact. See, the enemy, that's another thing. He pulls on you. Get your feedback. Barb comes to this house with nothing. She said, what did she say with the dimes? I didn't have a nickel or two nickels to swirl around or whatever. I said, only two nickels to get to Deb and Frank's place. And that's what you might see. And in that place, right? In that place, Deb had a word, and she said, you know what? We're going to give our very best. Where did that come from? I'll tell you where it came from. It came from a father who knew exactly what she needed and had reached to his children and said, his children answered and said, guess what? We're going to provide. And there was an answer. A miracle. And where has she been? But she talked about the cathedrals and all those places she'd been. Where has she been? And she's blowing my mind. This gal, she called from Iowa farmer, right? Gone through all that she's going through, getting brought in this prestige places. I can't even know the cathedrals, the people, the high officials. Who is she? She's a daughter of the Most High God. And she was testifying of this. And I said, why is she testifying like this? Why is this the message? Because it's supposed to be a testimony that it pushes people. It says they overcome them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. There is a breakthrough in the testimony of God in somebody's life that you catch a hold of something and say, why not me too? It's the same Father here. Why not? Going over tragedy, breaking through, having a breakthrough, because the same Father that did it for her is my same Father. He's your Father. He's the same Father. Come on. Why not? Let it affect your decisionator. Come on. Make the decision. So I was overwhelmed with this concept of all the things that I love my wife. She has all this list. And I go, ah. I guess that's the word. Ah. The deck, the siding, the driveway. A tent. I said, what are you doing to me? And I said, I need to pray. Come on. Because my Father, and I begin be overwhelmed by some of these things. I said I was going to go to Scripture. Let me go to Scripture. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Come on. What influences me? What do I draw from? What is affecting those things? Paul understood something very special here in Philippians chapter 3. Let's start at verse 7. So he's talking about his connections that he had before Christ. He's talking about the way things were Christ. If you don't know the story of Paul, Paul was at one time Saul, and he was not a good man towards Christians or Christ. He persecuted them. He caused some to die. He was in that mind frame. He didn't have the revelation, but he got the revelation in the book of Acts, and it's a tremendous testimony. But here's his revelation. But whatever were gains to me now, I consider them lost for the sake of Christ. What is more is I consider everything loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. Does that sound personal? Does that sound personal? The surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. for whose sake I have separated and lost all attachment to those things, and now consider that garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having righteousness of my own that came from the law, but through faith in Christ. How am I going to get there? Faith in Christ. How am I going to believe for this? Faith in Christ. When she said that prayer, I'm going to give you a powerful prayer. I was like, oh boy, here comes a powerful one. I'm going to give you a really strong strategic prayer that carried me through all this. I'm going to give it to you. Ready for it? Are you ready for it? I trust you. I trust you. Are you in? I trust you. Are you in? Are you in that place? Lucky you, praise the Lord. He says, surpassing, because in this place I found what? Through faith through Christ Jesus, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, I want to know the power of the resurrection, the participation of his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and somehow attain the resurrection, the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, that I have already arrived, but I press on and take a hold for which Christ took a hold for me. Here's the thing. We were just talking about last night. What am I pressing on? I'm getting more revelation today than I had last year. I didn't know this about God last year, but I know this about God now. I didn't understand about tithes. I didn't understand about that, but I understand now. It's benefiting me now. I didn't understand that in my own place, in my own home, come on, in my very own depths, when I pray, I could pray in my very own home, and God can meet me there and begin to minister. I could begin to press in and read the Word of God, and it begins to affect me. Oh, to know the power of his resurrection, the resurrection from the dead. You see, the dead things kill our water. And he's come to bring life in the fullness of all of me. And when we go through life, there are other things that pull on us that Paul said separate from the influences of. I had a conversation with one of my kids. I said, you know what? You get involved when you get into different games. You get little Bo on the football game, or you get one of my kids on Fortnite. They are involved. You are engaged. And he said, you know, church is always the same thing. It's always I said, you're not engaged. You're not involved. The presence, you're not pulling from it. I'm telling you, you know, like Fortnite and these games, it's the same game. What's the big deal? How many games can you play? It's the same thing every time. What's the big deal? Oh, mom, can I get some V-Bucks? I need a new skin so I could dress up while I shoot people. I'm like, okay. I got it in my house too. I got V-Bucks. But why does that game minister to you so much? Why do you bring you so much enjoyment? Because you're involved and you're playing with other people. Do you think God wants to be involved? Come on. Do you think he likes to be in the sideline just watching you? He wants to be a father to you. He wants these mysteries called the Word of God. He wants this to become life to you, where you're feeding off of that. But I'm telling you, it's not about just coming to church on Sunday, though I appreciate that you're here. But it talks about your involvement, your engagement with the Almighty Father. Engage. Get a hold of your gun. Start building. Shooting. The devil. You guys. Partnering up online. Stephen. The enemy's coming after me. He's trying to take me down. Stephen, start praying right now. Build a wall. Because that's what they do in the game. They build these forts and they shoot. But it's engaging. When we come into the house of God and we begin to praise and worship, we're engaging the throne room of heaven, calling upon the name of the Lord, bringing down his presence. We're engaging together. And it's awesome. Right? Because we're involved. Now, if you sit back there, and I was like this, if I'm playing a game, and I try to play the game. It's hard to play the game. But you know, he's involved. You're fine, buddy. You are. You nice hat, by the way. That's really cool. Amen. That's right. I think we got a little preacher here already, don't we? He's involved. He wants to be a part of this. I think there's a word here that's coming up on him that he's... No, I love it. Never. He should. He just get up there and he starts speaking the word of the Lord. But I get a hold of the controller. And I am... How's a nice way to put it? What's the terminology about? A newbie? Is that okay to say a newbie? Or that's not okay? Just say expert in training. But I'm a newbie. I don't know how to do this thing. But I want to get involved. I want to be a part. So you're trying to figure it out. Maybe you're new here and you're trying to figure it out, right? But you get involved and you have to learn. And you have to, terminology, right? It's like, they're trying to speak to me. I know it. My children are trying to speak to me and communicate. But I don't understand all their moods or whatever all these things are called, or the bussings and the moodings and all the terminology. I'm lost. What do you want me to do? Just talk to me. Dad, you got to spam over there. You got to do that. You're getting blasted. I'm like, what do you want me to do? Energize, Dad. Come on. What do I do for the energizing? What do I press? Right? But you try to engage in worship. You try to engage. What is our benefit? That we engage together. That we engage the Father together. We participate. There's not one service that's the same. There's not one. You read the scripture. You think it's the same scripture every time? It's not. I've read things and I go, whoa, where did that come from? It's the same word. But like Jim was saying last week, it's life. It's not just the Bible. It's life. And the word becomes a life to me. We don't read our word. We don't engage God in the word. You begin to engage God in the word, and then things become a lot more prevalent to you. It starts affecting your decisionator because you're getting something from it. It's having influence on your life. You come to church, and there's something about that church. And we don't have to apologize for being Holy Spirit filled. We don't have to apologize for the anointing kind of getting a little bit crazy. From the history that I understand about revival in church, that men and women of God saw crazy things in church and they were transformed. They say, you know what? There's something here. I can't figure it out. It's something amazing. I can't figure it. Don't apologize, community church, for the presence and the Spirit of God, because they need it. There's no other substitute for that. There's nothing. He is, I don't even know where I went with all, but this, praise the Lord, it's good. Come on. He's so good to us. And he wants to be the ultimate father over your life. And when she prayed about those deep things in our life, she was opening up the Father's heart towards you. When those young ladies came up to the front, I felt it so strongly, Sandy, that Jesus Christ himself would stop his whole show to make sure that they got the message that he loves them. Stop your whole program. I don't blame him for having a place to be because he wanted to go see his father. He said, you know what? No, I'm going to move here. And he said to me, if you love me, you keep my commandments, you walk in my ways. He said this. He said, love one another as I loved you. And in those moments where I have really struggled with my decisionator on how I want to have relationship with myself or others. I've had to exercise in faith towards God's word about loving others and loving myself. I had to separate myself from my own personal identity, what I thought, what maybe your mom or dad or the past history, what they spoke something negative that became my personal struggle towards my worth, my value. I had to separate that, and I had to embrace the heart of the Father. I had to embrace the heart of my Father. Let me finish that scripture. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power. Not that I've already attained this, arrived to my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Goes on to say, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press forward. I press forward for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This powerful thing that the past does not dictate your future. What happened in the past is not your future. The struggles, the way you've been treated, the things you have gone through do not dictate the future. Paul himself caused the death of Christians. And he had to forget and detach from that person. Thought he was maybe disqualified from serving God. No. It's not over. People that go through loss. People that struggle with an addiction or something. Doesn't work. And I press on. Father God, I just thank you for your spirit in this house. Lord, you are showing us the heart of the Father in our very deep places, Father God, that we could really draw from you. And you're removing the pollutants in our own wells that we might drink from and have life. And life more abundantly in our homes, in our family, and in our surroundings, God. And you're calling us to engage with the Father, to be participators in this divine temple in nature. You've calling us forth to not be ignorant of all that you have for us, but to know, as Paul said, that I know the Father in this way. I don't know God in this way. I get to know God in this way as my healer, as my provider, as my restorer, as my comforter, as my peace, as my joy. I get to know him in this way. And I get to draw off of him. So Father, right now, Lord, I pray those watching at home, Lord Jesus, that repentance is just a beautiful word for embrace the thought of God over my life and separate from all that draggy dead stuff, Lord, that doesn't have anything to do with you. Some of us have gone through things that wasn't our fault, but from it, we've pulled some dead weight, and he wants to separate that. When Barb started talking about that stuff, I said, Lord, you're removing it so you could get rid of it and throw it away. It doesn't belong in you anymore. My worth and my value was pulled from how I was treated as a young child or things that were said That's the past. That's dead weight. The Father wants to remove that. The Father wants to speak to that. So, Father, have your way in that. If that's you, just raise your hand and say, Father, speak to me. God, take that. If that's you at home, something so much power that affects my choices and decisions and pulls me one way, I'm tired of it pulling me down. I want to go up. I'm tired of being dragged down. I'm tired of that thing always holding on me. Lord, I want to be free. Set me free, Lord. Set me free from the tormenting thoughts of the past that keep pulling me every time I try to reach up. Let it be separated from me now. I don't need it. I need you, God. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Come on, right now, in the name of Jesus, touch him, Father. The addictions, if you're watching at home, there's addictions that are robbing your very life. He is the King of all glory. He has the power. He can cut that thing off in the name of Jesus. Embrace Christ as Lord and Savior. He's alive. Understand the resurrection power in my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Whew. Is God good or what? It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful week, Frank. You're going to have the best week of your life. I'm confessing over your life. May you guys be blessed. Go out in the presence of God. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. For more, visit our website, communitychurchinternational.org. We invite you to join us next Sunday at 10 a.m. at the church 1 mile east of the college on Highway 1 in Thief River Falls, Minnesota. If you wish to support this ministry financially, you may give online on our website or on our free CCI Plus app. Thanks again for spending time with us today. Have a great day.